Spending more time at home? Don't forget that ESPN 1000 is on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa or Google to play. Play ESPN Chicago.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Michael Wilbon, always on Wednesday, 5 o'clock. Love our conversations, and he's brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
That is correct. Michael is brought to you by the fine people at HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Michael, how are you and the family?
Good. We're good. Still in Arizona, staying here, I guess, for the long haul. And, you know, I'm not expecting baseball to surround us like some people are. It'd be great if it could happen at any point and if they started out that way. I just thought yesterday's quote-unquote news was a little too optimistic, which, of course, they, you know, baseball was backsliding on by this morning. But, you know, we're doing okay here in Arizona. It's not... Nobody said it's going to be a hot spot anytime soon. It's less stressful than being on the East Coast. There's a reason I'm glad I'm not in Washington, D.C. or anywhere on the I-95 corridor, where life is just much more stressful. It just is. And I talk to people back in New York and New Jersey and D.C. every day, including some doctors, a doctor back there, and one who's trying to actually get from the West Coast to New York to help. It's amazing what people will do in that profession, the harm in which they will approach to try to save people's lives and you know, guarantee their health. It's amazing. So I talk to people back there every day, and I'm glad I'm not there. I mean, I feel a little guilty about that, but as I said in the text message to one friend, I don't feel guilty enough to come back. I don't need to be there. Nothing I can do. So I'm happy to be here in Arizona.
Mike, while you know, you mentioned that it was optimistic, I think a lot of people mention or feel the same way, that any mention of anything happening in May be optimistic. I've had the perspective that I'm glad at least Major League Baseball is talking about a plan, and a plan that includes the advice coming from medical professionals. Do you feel the same way?
I'm glad they're having a plan. It doesn't matter. I mean, any plan that thinks it's going to put people back on fields in courts in May is just, I mean, I don't want to say stupid, but it's not realistic. They're not putting anybody on any fields in the next month. It's not going to happen. I mean, you got people dying still at an unthinkable rate. It's not, in the United States, they're not going to, I mean, you know, really? And I heard... oh my goodness, I'm having a senior moment. The former White Sox, Boston Celtic ace, lefty.
Chris Sale.
Chris Sale's like, I don't want to look at my kids in a screen and my wife for 4 or 5 months. I'm not going to do that. They're not going to do that. This is not going to happen. And, you know, it's like the old Mike Tyson saying, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. Well, this crisis keeps hitting everybody in the mouth day after day after day after day.
Yeah, I wouldn't think, though, that this is my own personal opinion. I don't think being sequestered from your family is going to be the hurdle that is not clearable for this to happen. While it may be uncomfortable for people, guys only get paid if they play. And if you can find a way that is sanctioned by the medical professionals to play, my guess is the majority of the guys are going to make that sacrifice and get back to doing A, what they love to do, and B, what they're paid handsomely to do.
I don't know. I mean, I'm listening to, I think it's a lot, Tommy, like the football players and the vote they just had. The younger you are and the less money, comfort, security you have, the family, the more likely you are to say, let's saddle this up. And the older you are, Chris Sale's a veteran guy who's, you know, I mean, he's sort of at the end of the prime of his career physically. But when Chris Sale said, I don't want to look at my kids on a screen for 4 months, I believe him. And so I believe that the older you are, the more veteran you are, you say, I don't want to do this. LeBron has said this multiple times. I understand that some rookie who's, you know, the ninth man is not going to say it that way. But particularly in basketball, where the older, greater players lead and really lead the union and its thought, unlike baseball, which is much tougher union. I don't know. I don't know what the breakdown of that is. And anyway, Tommy, my larger point is it ain't happening anyway. I don't see. And for baseball, it's the beginning. For hockey and the NBA, it's the end. You could see doing it for a playoff season, right? You could condense the playoffs to a month. I know it takes 2 months now. You could condense it to a month to 6 weeks. And then you're asking people to be sequestered and you're asking them to hit the ultimate part of the season. I can see that. Do I see baseball, like, starting in May and playing that way for 4 or 5 months in Arizona? No, there's zero chance I see that. I applaud them trying to plan something out. I do. But the reality is what Adam Silver said a couple of days ago when he said, I know less now what is going to happen and what I believe in than I knew a month ago. That's honesty and that's common sense.
Right. It is. It is. I agree with that. And I Waddle and I have just not been hung up on the date. Like, what if we told you that the same sort of plan for baseball, but would just be August, September, October, sort of like the worst case scenario.
I'm all in.
So you're in, but now what do you do? So if they say the same thing,
that's 3 months of being sequestered from your family.
Yes, the same plan happened.
That's not me. That's those players. I don't know what that's like. You know, when I was that age, I didn't have a wife and family. I didn't do that until I was, 39 and 49. So I would have said, yeah, let's go. It's rock and roll. But, that's going to be an interesting thing, because every time I hear players, I think it's like what I've heard, it's like a 50-50 split. And again, I applaud baseball for the plan. They're out there saying we're trying to do something so that when it's possible. But the problem is not enough people are reminding their listeners to say when this is possible. Otherwise, you get like Mike Gundy, who came off as an idiot when I heard that this morning. Yeah, we're going to let people in school in May 1st. We're going to get them out here. What? If I was the president of Oklahoma State, I would fire his butt. Fire. You're now going to speak for a university. You're going to step out there. You've already been a lunatic in something that didn't matter. I'm a man. I'm 40. And apparently it doesn't even matter if you're 52 or whatever he is. You don't get to be a man just because of chronology. It's unbelievable that he would step out there and say something that's stupid, as if he has no TV, to quote the great Lee Smith in a rant. You got no TV in your household? I mean, does Gundy not know what's going on in the world? Probably not. But he comes off as a stereotypic, almost a comic strip kind of football coach who just is going to be oblivious to everything. So, no, I'm not accusing Major League Baseball of being that. I'm saying, you got to start planning something. And you do it with some optimism. You got to do it with some realism. You got to do it. But I just, Adam Silver's words the other night ring true to me. I don't know. And there's not enough people saying, we don't know yet. Hold on.
Yeah, and that's very understandable, and that's common sense. But I use this as the example. I'd hate to get to June 1st or July 1st. You name the date. But for whatever reason, the private sector has created a way to treat people, to protect people, and maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't happen. But I'd hate to get to that point in Major League Baseball, look at each other and go, duh. I mean, wish we would have had a plan.
They're too smart. They're gonna have a plan.
Well, that's what
this plan may be the right one, even for it. Tell you what, it's tough to play baseball out here in July and August, but
that's true.
But again, let me make sure everybody's hearing me correctly. I applaud the plan, but attaching any date to this is it sort of undermines it, because you just look at it. I listen to it and I go, okay, they're not dealing with reality. This is not, it was like, we talked about this. You guys can cue up the tape, as they say. Weeks ago, we talked about this, and people were saying, well, the NBA is going to reconsider in April. Reconsider what? What are they going to reconsider? I mean,
Well, I think at the beginning of the announcement that Major League Baseball made, they said, look, with the consultation of medical professionals. So, like, they threw it out there.
I don't know any medical professionals who were projecting that it's going to be okay to put people back on fields of play in May.
Yeah,
no one. I talked to medical professionals, too.
Yeah, I don't think that I mean, again, as Sylvie said, I'm not hooked on the right. May date.
Right.
I'm just hooked on.
I'm hooked. I like the plan, and they're going to have more plans. How about if they have a plan to actually play where they live? Well, by the time we get to August,
I'm sure they do, or they will.
Be too optimistic for some people. Like, how about you know, July, August, we get the world back tilted toward whatever the new normal is.
I just think, Mike, we've had a plan. You've had a plan. Like, we've had a plan. Sylvie's at home. I'm at home. Jeff and Adam are down at the station. We have found a plan to do our job. You have found a plan to do your job. I'm just, because we're you know, we talk sports. We're not farmers. Otherwise, we would talk about farming. But in the sports world, I'm just glad to hear that people are working on plans, that they're actually thinking about things.
Yeah.
They're thinking about the future. Now, again, I'm not going to hold anybody to any date. And I think they'd be silly to say.
Right.
We're definitely going to.
You're a much more forward-thinking person than Neanderthals like Sylvie and me in the first place.
So now, that, Sylvie's, you know, on my side here. I've convinced him, Mike.
I'll stand in the corner alone. No, listen. My whole life is about sports. I shouldn't even admit it or say it. Well, not entirely. I got other stuff I do, but in a minor way. My son and I, all we did, we just went to In-N-Out Burger. That was our diversion. We went to In-N-Out Burger where the lines are long. Thank God they're open until like 1:30 a.m. They realize the market and taking advantage of it. So we went to the drive-thru at In-N-Out Burger. The only conversation, here's what our conversation was. When Matthew says, Dad, who's your first team in All-NBA? We get into a fight. Then we get to the second team. We can agree on the first team. That became sort of easy, actually. Then we get to a second team. He goes, how can you not have Bradley Beal on your second team? We have a fight about that for 6 minutes. This is what we do every day. So God knows I am immersed to this to my neck. But, man, you know, I turn the TV on and I watch some news. I've limited my own news intake. And then I talk to the doctors I talk to. By the way, both of whom, my primary two physician friends, these guys are season ticket holders to everything. They're just like, they're sports junkies like we all are. If they weren't physicians and they're hoping to heal the world, these guys are renowned physicians, they would be doing talk radio. This is all they care about. And I'm like, you know, tell me something. And they say, okay, I'll tell you something about July and August. I'm not telling you anything about why do people in your industry keep talking about May?
It's funny you mention that, because if I wasn't talking sports, Mike, I'd be operating on people.
I'm sure you would. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt your very talent, Tommy. But you know what I mean? When I hear that, it tempers. I'm like, okay, I don't need to hear a plan. It's my job. But you're right. Thank God doing what we do, we have stuff to discuss like this. That was our lead story yesterday on PTI. But realistically, do I think no, I don't see any of this happening. I'm hoping there's an NBA and NHL playoffs. If it started in August, I'd be thrilled. And people say, what about the next season? I'm like, are you stupid? Can you just get through this? The world is at its knees, and you're asking me about next season. This is because we live in an instant culture. I got to have my waffles in 6 seconds. You know, and so everybody's got to have something. Now. Well, we're not going to have it now.
Waffles are good.
We're not.
6 second waffles would be a really good marketing campaign. 6 seconds.
As long as
waffles.
They're cooked all the way through, and it's not like you cook the outside and then the inside aren't cooked.
I mean, let's hunt them. I love it. Yeah.
All right, hang in because.
All right, we'll talk about that.
Because I got a few. Like, I want to talk to you about this Bulls stuff, and
I got a guy that's fascinating me.
Yeah. So it looks like there's a leader in the clubhouse. And then some of the names that surfaced today. I want to know if you caught some of the Brady interview and if you feel sorry for some of these NFL GMs who are bellyaching. All that with Will Bond coming up in a few minutes.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, Michael Wilbine continues to join us, and Woj has sent out an article about an hour or two ago saying that Karnisovas, the general manager in Denver, is the leader to lead the Bulls in the front office, or at least they're focusing their search on him right now. Wilbon, before the break, you called it fascinating. Tell us what you mean about this that's fascinating.
Well, just that the Bulls are undertaking this at this point, where you can't sit and get a, you know, for 4 hours with somebody and get a feel for that person. And maybe you already have a feel for people because you started this process earlier and not much was talked about. And there's some people you've met with and gotten to know for years without, you know, you don't need to sit. You're like, that was going to be my guy. Dude, let's pull the trigger. But if you're entertaining a bunch of people, how do you get a feel for them in person? And it's fascinating. Like I'm sure they have reasons. I'm just asking the question. I'm not asking with any great cynicism. How do you know why now? Like maybe you feel like, okay, we're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, there's not going to be, the regular season is over. I do presume that. And so if you want to get the earliest start you can on next season, you would get it now. And that might very well be the answer. I'm intrigued, obviously, about my favorite basketball team and whatever they're doing.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sylvie. No, go ahead.
What about, Waddle and I, and especially me, because I'm more vocal about the Bulls, and, I coined the phrase, they've got to win before they can win with a fan base. It's just everything they say is going to be met with skepticism over the last several years. But the
I agree with that.
The names that came out today of Brian Colangelo, who had to resign over the burner account, and then Danny Ferry, who made racist comments in a scouting report about Luol Deng.
I'm sort of defensive about Danny Ferry because I've known him since he was a kid. So for me, I'll admit my bias, my baggage on that. But yeah, you're talking about two guys who didn't leave under the best circumstances. The last job they had,
right?
I hear you.
This is a fan base to me, that to me to even consider those two, that where we want a fresh start. The last thing about those two is a fresh start because you're already you're playing from behind when you hire a guy, either guy.
Presume that it's going to affect free agency, I've had communication with Danny Ferry, who I know wants to get back in, who I know feels he was wronged. I've talked to, it's so weird that so many of the guys in that Atlanta situation, which just went south like the Titanic, they have Washington ties. And, you know, one of their owners who took the fall for this is just, he's not that guy. And I begged him to go public with his feelings and talk about it and want to do it. And Danny Ferry was obviously in that. I've known Danny Ferry all his life. Because his father, Bob Ferry, was the GM of the Bullets for a long, long time. Successfully won a championship, went to the finals three times. So I know the Ferry family. I'm a little defensive about it, but Sylvie, I get it. What you're saying is not arguable. And Colangelo, who has Chicago ties, of course, because of his father. I mean, his father is associated with the very initiation, the birth of the Bulls. So I get why you would talk to him. It doesn't mean just because you talk to him that he's the leader in the clubhouse or he's on the leaderboard at all. And the tough thing is Colangelo he seemed very capable before all this garbage. So I don't know, man. I don't know what to think. I'm sure there are other people they're talking to, and I would think that this process doesn't have to be wrapped up in the next few days, right? I mean, you can talk to anybody on the moon on Zoom. That's what I've been doing, can't you?
If you had your choice, Mike, who do you believe is the best fit for this role with the Bulls?
Oh God, I don't know because I haven't been thinking. I wasn't thinking about the Bulls in that context. There's a lot of capable people out there. You look at some teams that, you know. Okay, so let's just go back to somebody who's been really, really successful. So the first time you heard Sam Presti's name, 10 years ago, did you think, wow, this guy, even in a small market, can just keep a team in contention? He can tear a team up and keep it in contention. He can lose two MVPs, and he can keep a team in competition, in contention. Did we think that of him? No. So I'm not big on the name game. I'm not big on, oh, yeah, we got to get this guy, unless that guy is, you know, Theo Epstein.
You have great contacts in the NBA, and you know from the really smart, successful, important people who those people actually think are some of the next guys.
Yeah,
that
but there are people
step.
Coming up. There are people, you know, still coming up. I mean, and they might be assistants somewhere. Like, but you know what? And here's the other thing. You got a new element, agents. I mean, so Rob Pelinka, people, he came out of nowhere. And he came out of nowhere because of his relationship with Kobe. Bob Myers in at Golden State. I mean, nobody, he wasn't in a pipeline. Because you're now taking people from another industry. You're playing this like business. And you're saying, okay, who's the best person I can get, even if they're not doing this? Look at Leon Rose goes to the Knicks. We wouldn't have been talking about Leon Rose in this capacity 2 months ago. We wouldn't. So I don't know. I don't know all the people who might be looking to come from something else into the basketball industry to run a franchise. Okay, let me just say something preposterous, because this is where we're going now with choosing people to lead programs with different skill sets and not just the old boy network set of skills. Suppose somebody wanted to convince someone with the resume of Theo Epstein to do this. And I don't mean Theo, but I got to bring him up because we're in Chicago. But suppose somebody looked across the sports landscape and said, you know what? This guy who turned this Premier League team around and has this set of expertise that can hires people out of the box like this, why don't we get him or her? Why don't we get him? What is to say, and do the – will Michael and Jerry think outside the box that far? Is that their thing? I don't know. But, man, you got – it's different now. And people don't just sort of matriculate in one direction and wind up, oh, well, you got to be a coordinator first and you can be a coach. No, you don't. And so I don't know what the right – I have not – look, the Bulls were not on anybody's radar when we ended the regular season. And I say ended. I shouldn't say that. But let's face it, it's over. So trust me, when I was in L.A., what was that, like March 6th? So that's been a month ago. When I was in L.A. for Clippers, Lakers, and for Lakers, Bucks, and people were there, scouts were there, people are talking about the industry, people are talking about other teams. Let me tell you who was not on their radar, the Chicago Bulls, except for like a draft pick. You know, oh, yeah, it'd be great if they could have Obi Toppin or whatever his name is. Yeah, but the notion that they were going to rework their front office now, I mean,
well, what
you know,
they
clearly
say,
that
Mike,
was on the
Mike,
mind
what,
of the people who run the franchise, but it wasn't on everybody else's.
What would they say about this job and the prestige or the lack of prestige of this job at this point?
Well, people still think the job has prestige. Remember, there's only two franchises that have won more championships than the Bulls.
Celtics and Lakers.
I know it was all – what's that?
Celtics and Lakers?
Yeah. I know it was all in one clump. I get it. And what I guess the Heat and Spurs have won five. Is that right? Does that sound right? And Philly, you know, the Philadelphia franchise. The Warriors have now probably won five. The Warriors have probably won five or six because they were the Philadelphia Warriors first. And I'm trying to think. I guess they won one there maybe. But anyway, it still has prestige. It still has the biggest building to fill, which it can fill. It can fill with mediocre. You can get mediocre teams that have a hint of competitiveness, and people will fill the United Center. It's a big market. You can make money. The franchise is worth something. And so, are they still living off Michael and Scottie and Phil? Of course, in some ways. They also had some competitive. Look, the Bulls have had more competitive teams more recently, two sets of teams, than the Knicks. So I don't want to make it seem like no one out there is saying, oh, you can't win in Chicago. Nobody's saying that. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. And I would think that there would be people, once they know that the Reinsdorfs are looking, I would think they'd be burning up their phone lines or trying to get a Zoom, you know, Zoom chat with them. There'd be people ready to leave what they do to work for the Bulls, to run the Bulls. Yeah, absolutely.
Really quick, Michael, we have like 30 seconds left. Thumbs up to Howard Stern's interview of Tom Brady?
I don't know. I don't pay attention. I don't listen to Howard Stern, and I wouldn't listen to Tom Brady on the radio. Tom Brady may be brilliant like Peyton Manning at some point, but it ain't now for me, so I don't listen to that at all. I would never even know how to find it.
And you're mad at NFL GMs, aren't you, for complaining about the draft?
Yeah, stop whining. Because first they whined that they wanted to move the draft, and when they couldn't do that, then they start saying, you know, my bandwidth is not good enough, and the Wi-Fi in my house is bad. I can't really get – then pick up a phone. I'm tired of hearing that whining. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
You know, now is not the time for whining in this world. And so for NFL GMs to do it is just – it's loathsome. It really is.
Michael, great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Stay safe
and
healthy.
Be safe. Be well. Yeah.
Yeah, I could have predicted the last two questions. I knew he would poo-poo the Brady interview, and I knew he would rip the general managers. It's good stuff today with Michael Wilbon. Mark Jean Greco is ready to go inside the First Midwest Bank studio. He joins us in a couple of moments.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Jean Greco brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. LaSalle and the River, they will reopen when it is safe for all Chicago. And Marky is in the First Midwest Bank studio. First time, Marky. We've all done this from different spots. You're still there?
I'm still there. You're home. Tommy's home. But it's all cool. I hope everybody's...
We're running the triangle right now, Mark.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
I was never able to run the triangle very well, but, you know, we'll do the best we can here.
Code?
Yeah.
It's
creepy. It's creepy, but we're getting through it. And hey, leave it to Howard Stern, though, to give us something to talk about.
What'd you think of that? They're like, Wilbon poo-pooed it, but, you know, I'm a huge Howard Stern fan.
Well, so am I. I always have been from the WNBC days, even way back when. Look, Howard... He's the best interviewer in the business because he has a knack for disarming people, making them relax, and he gets so much out of them. Now, you could argue that Brady didn't really reveal that much, but he did have some interesting things. And I think even the most conservative and the most uptight PC person, when they agree to go on with Stern, he's built this reputation of being, you know, so cool and hip and a renegade and a rebel and outrageous that they feel the need to, you know, offer some inside stuff. It's really a unique gift. Now, Brady is never going to just let it rip. But I thought it was interesting that he finally confirmed, and Howard got him to confirm, that he knew last year was going to be his last year all along. Because, you know, Belichick just said, no, I'm not going to give you a long-term deal. And then the things about Giselle, and he said, I stopped going to OTAs because I needed to, you know, check myself, reset my marriage. I thought that was kind of interesting. So I thought there were some, you know, three or four decent nuggets out of it. You weren't going to get him to really spill his guts and say he hates the Patriots and Belichick. And even when Brady retires, you know, he's still not going to tell you the truth because he still has a lot of friends in New England. So, you know, but I thought it was pretty good.
It was a good listen. Like, and I still haven't listened to it all, and I will, but it's just, I don't mind Brady as much as some. Some people think that he says nothing.
Well, Mark hates him because he was the quarterback of the Patriots over that period of time where they dominated a team in Buffalo known as the Bills.
Yeah, but I also thought he was too PC and too uptight and too conservative and never gave the media anything. Just take the Buffalo equation out of it. But you have to respect him as the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, that's what you start your conversation with. And, you know, even if he falls on his face in Tampa and he's Joe Namath as a Ram and Johnny Unitas as a Charger, his legacy is already cemented.
Of course.
He's still going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And people just say, yeah, see, you know, early.
How about if he does the opposite? Like, I think most people are expecting him to take that path, Mark. Like, I think Joe Montana, if you go back and look at Joe Montana's stay with the Chiefs, it wasn't bad, right?
Not bad at all.
I mean, yeah, he had a good run with the Chiefs. What if Tom Brady comes out, goes to Tampa, and with a defense that played significantly better the last six or so weeks of the season, and an offense that, you know, has some weapons that were missing in that huddle in New England, and he goes out there and he takes that team to the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, my gosh. I would just... That would be ridiculous. Bruce Arians, though, you know, to the point that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Hey, can Brady still throw the deep ball? Can he throw 630 times a year?
That's a great question,
Arians,
Mark.
Wants him to go deep. And we're saying, you know, he's the king of dink and doink, of the West Coast offense, stuff over the middle, short stuff, and let the receiver, you know, do his yak thing. But Arians jumps right on that and said, he can throw deep. He can still throw deep. We know that. So still remains to be seen.
That's the key because, Mark, we talked about this a while ago that, look, with the weapons they have, Chris Godwin's a hell of a receiver. They got O.J. Howard there as a tight end, and certainly Mike Evans is a guy that his forte is getting deep. So there are going to be plenty of opportunities for Tom Brady to push the ball down the field and prove to you whether or not he still has the capacity to throw an accurate, consistently throw the deep ball in an accurate fashion.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know who we had a good conversation with today, Mark?
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Did you
again?
Hear it?
I missed him again.
Why?
Why can't you have him on at like 5:30 or 5 o'clock?
Well, you could have listened
up early.
Were you taking a nap, Mark?
I'm working downstairs. You know? I'm all by myself.
You said crafting, right?
Yes, yeah. I am. Yeah,
what are you crafting?
The building is virtually empty. They still want to keep some anchors in the building, and then we have most working from home, as all our reporters are. So
you don't do the sports from home, though, right?
No, not yet. I mean, I'm set up to do so.
He drives in, does this hit, and goes back home for the news.
And I was given the option. Yeah, right. Yeah, I just come in for you guys, you know?
He did say to me the other day, Waddle, he goes, you know, it's tough to do the radio on the phone. Like, he likes coming in so he can continue to do the radio.
I have not been in. Do you realize this? It'll be four weeks tomorrow, I think.
Wow. Yeah, that is amazing. You know, you just get more and
more. I'm patient zero, Mark. I was named patient zero, and I don't think that I've shed that label as patient zero yet.
I think you're the healthiest of us all, though, now.
I think so. My bench press is back to where it was like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
I hate you now. You see, I had my trainer. I was eating right. I was in great shape, and now I have no muscle tone at all. I've fallen apart. Now I'm a garbage bag full of Jell-O again.
Maybe this will make you feel better. As I went outside and ran on the hard pavement for the first time in probably 9 months,
ooh,
popped a calf half a mile into the
nice.
Run.
Nice. There you go. There you go. Well, listen, I'm going to take next week off, so I don't want people to freak and go, oh, what happened to him? I'm just going to take next week off and really concentrate on getting back in shape while I clean out my closets, you know, do stuff like that, you know?
That's right. It's tough to burn vacation now, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just felt the need for it, and so I'm looking forward to it. But you have to make the most of every day, because you can just be in a fog, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. What happened? So you gotta make a list, and you gotta do a bunch of stuff.
Let me ask you a question. So when this, you know, what is it called? Whatever at home,
stay at home,
shelter in, stay
shelter
home.
At home, yeah. Whatever it's called.
Shelter
whenever
in place,
it's kind of like shelter in place. What are we officially, what is the recommendation at this point? Is it April 15th or is it at the end of April?
No, end of the month.
We're going to push
now.
It to the end of the month, but you shouldn't mark that down as a date.
Okay, that's fine.
Right.
But
know,
whenever
go out
that,
there till no, the end of not. May, beginning
whenever
of
that,
June.
Whenever that day comes, will you be willing to do what? Like, will you be willing to fly? Would you be more willing to get in your car and do something that you probably haven't done for years, and that's take, like, a drive to
a
somewhere?
Road trip?
A
I long road trip?
I'm going to go against all my natural instincts, which is knee-jerk reaction, overdo it, go nuts. I'm going to continue to live like we're still not out of the woods. I'm just going to gradually work my way back into some sense of normalcy. I think a long drive would be good, like a road trip would be good to start with, not to fly and not to congregate socially with a lot of people. And, you know, Dr. Fauci said again today, you know what? This is going to change our culture forever. No more shaking hands. He says, we really have to get away from that. Don't shake hands
that.
Anymore, because that's the easiest way to transmit the virus.
My
Dr.
guess
Oz
is,
was
is
telling,
that,
go ahead,
yeah, he said the same thing, Dr. Oz. And my guess is that will be that will be in vogue for a period of time. But we are social creatures, especially in our culture, that at some point, whether it's because there's a vaccine or there is viral treatment, I believe that we will all get back. At some point, we will get back. Maybe not everybody, but a vast majority of people will get back to shaking hands at times. People will be more, you know, more willing to wash their hands more frequently. But I just believe we're a society that won't fully give up shaking hands. For
the concept, though, of that, Waddle, and that's what I was going to say, is didn't Dr. Oz tell us the original way that it came about, shaking hands, was to show your adversary or someone that I'm coming unarmed, or I'm coming here with nothing in
that.
My hand?
Yes, yes, that's exactly right.
Like, and here's my look. I've got nothing here. Look, shake. And then, like, it is like a weird tradition if you break it down. Like, hey, I'm going to walk up to you and touch you with that, my hand, to your hand.
Well, that's,
and
that's,
we're going to grip.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're packing.
That's what all
animals
do. You may be
packing, both of you guys.
Hey, listen, I'm Italian. It's going to be really hard not to hug and kiss and shake
well,
hands.
Well, okay, so what was the genesis of that then? If the handshake was just about showing, hey, I don't have any weapons, So what is the kissing on the each cheek thing?
It's just being a mammal in Europe, you know? That's just show your affection.
Not just Europe. Mom. Also, in my country, we kiss one side for I really like you, yeah. Two side I really, really like you, three side hello.
So how do you know when to go one, and then how do you get the signal to go two?
That's the best part of going and seeing my relatives. Not now, obviously, but the best part of going to see my relatives and like cousins and that kind of stuff is who goes three and who goes two.
Yeah.
It's so funny because it's always the awkward, like someone will go in for the third time. And you're like, no, okay, all right, cool. All right.
It's called kiss like an Egyptian.
Yeah.
Right.
Very good. All right, Mark, hang in there. I want to get to something the NFL is doing that is good. During the NFL draft, I think we'll all agree on that.
They're doing something good? What?
Yes. Yes, they are. And then I want to ask you about one particular candidate that the Bulls interviewed.
Oh, my God.
I think you'll find it humorous.
Please don't ask me.
It's all – no, it's not about –
I know who you're going to ask.
Yes, yes. This is – we had a good conversation about this earlier. Marky's in the First Midwest Bank studio again, brought to you by Chicago Cut. Thank you to them for their great partnership. David Flom and Maddie Moore, LaSalle and the River. When things are back to normal, we're going to have a huge celebration
huge
at Chicago
there.
Cup. More with Marky next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Marky's in our Princeton West Bank studio. Talking a little about the Bulls with Wilbon earlier, and Mark, I know that's not your thing. I'm not going to ask you to tell us more about our guy Carney if they hire him.
Well, I'm excited about it.
Oh, are you? What are you excited about?
Mark's always a fan of Carney's.
You know, the graphic cut line today was Arturas the Taurus. You know,
nice. I like it.
You know, hey, I'm excited to see what he can do if he is indeed the guy. I mean, you know, Casey's reporting they're going to talk. Once again, it'll be a second interview. I think it's Carney giving the Bulls a second interview, actually, not the other way around.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think so. You know, having been turned down by other people, and then you were going to hit me with some of the other names that were really scary. Really scary.
We were joking earlier about the situation that with Colangelo, Brian Colangelo.
Right.
He lost his job because he was... He took up to 5 burner accounts out and was ripping his own players.
Yes, absolutely.
And then he blamed his wife on it when, you know, to cover, to try to save his job.
Barbara Buttini.
And Waddle was asking, like, where that ranks as far as cowardly actions.
That's really cowardly. That's about as low as you can go. Then
Do you have a burner account, Mark? They
had talked to Danny Ferry, who was kicked out of the business for some racist remarks.
Right.
Jeez. Barbara Buttini, I remember she was working for the NBA. She was their big PR person, and all the reporters would be hitting on her all the time. Very attractive woman, all during the Jordan years. And it was just pay no mind. And she winds up marrying him. I assume they're still married. I don't know. Maybe they're not after Colangelo blamed her. You know?
Yeah, I don't know what happened with it. But I was going to say, like, that's not the way to win back your fan base, even by teasing them that, hey, the guy who had the you know, not only did he draft Fultz, Markus Fultz, but now you're talking about the guy who was, you know, tweeting people from burner accounts.
Well, what does that tell you? That the top of the food chain, the ownership is to blame. You could blame Michael Reinsdorf then. You could blame Jerry. Because, you know, take it beyond the whole Garpax fiasco that's been going on forever. If they continue to make PR mistakes like that, you have to go directly to the top, don't you?
Oh, of course.
And it's sad. It's sad. Now, I heard the tail end of Wilbon when I was coming up here about other really qualified, you know, rising stars in the executive NBA ranks wanting to come to the Bulls. You know, if they do pick Artie, I'm not sure that's still correct. I mean, you know, people don't want to go near this franchise. I think it'll be a wait and see thing. If Carney can do the job, maybe a year or two down the road after he establishes himself and you see progress and you see some success, then maybe some up and coming stars will want to come here. I mean, both in the front office and on the court, you know?
Yeah, sure. Do you know, can you take a guess of something that Waddle purchased that arrived in the mail today that he was very excited about?
Thighmaster?
Be careful. No, it was not a Thighmaster.
Give him play 20 questions.
That
go ahead.
That Thighmaster never worked, did it? I know
none
it sold,
of this stuff
like,
works. You know what I sent away for? The roller, you know, that had the little handles on it. You'd lay down on the floor and let stretch out your abs. And that kind of works, I guess. Usually it's just a wheel with handles on it.
Yeah,
but
I
had the one that was
one
like enclosed. It looked like a vacuum cleaner. So that thing's gathering dust.
Well, don't you remember our former program director, Spaceball? His wife, I think, was the one who invented that ab thing that like stimulated your abs electrically and like it backfired and they got sued.
Yeah, I had one. I ordered those. got electrocuted. Got a shock.
Try to guess what
I was standing in the bathtub at the time, which probably wasn't smart.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. Try to guess what I purchased. I'm very excited about. It was delivered today by Amazon.
Pete Rose jersey.
No, you can ask me questions. I'll give you yes or no answers. Let's play the game.
Well, you're talking about getting back in shape. Am I on the right track with that?
No.
Ooh. Then a case of wine.
No.
Well, I mean, you don't go ask right a away. Question. You got to narrow it down.
You suck at this game.
Yeah, I do.
Is it something that you can prepare a meal with?
No.
Is it something indoors?
No.
Is it something you can groom yourself with?
If you do, you're in trouble.
He said it's nothing for indoors, so is it something for outdoors?
Yes.
You bought a new lawnmower?
No.
But we're close. You bought some landscaping equipment?
Kind of.
That's a yes. That's for sure a yes.
You bought a trampoline? No, already have that.
I have a trampoline.
Yeah.
I call that the netted neck breaker outside.
My sister bounced off one of those and shattered her forearm in about 10 places.
Yeah, I mean, so that's
so now to this day, it still looks like she's hitchhiking when she's just standing there. Let's see.
Keep guessing.
It's got a bird feeder.
No.
That's not a landscaping tool.
Well, I don't know if we're going down that road.
Think about
correctly.
It.
Okay.
He's never going to get it.
Okay. Would it be a snowblower?
Oh, you're getting closer.
A weed thing. Like
a
leaf blower.
A leaf blower, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes, I bought a leaf blower.
I was excited about that. We were in the pre-show meeting bar, and the doorbell rang. I think a FedEx guy came or a UPS guy. He's like, my leaf blower's here.
Yeah,
and then he came back 5 minutes later. He's like, it wasn't the leaf blower.
Yeah, well, you know what he's going to do with it. He's going to reverse the switch on it.
Oh, listen, if that happens, I got one of these that is super powered. If that
that'll
happened, there'd be a serious injury.
You know, when I was a kid, way back when we didn't have electricity and no leaf blowers like that, I had to trim, you know, the edges of the driveway, the lawn there with that, with the, you know, manual thing. And then you had to sweep it up with a broom.
Yeah. I did all that
then
stuff.
Then you had to eat dirt, you know.
Yes.
That was
great.
Dude,
I painted in my dad's machine shop with oil, machine tool oil flying everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I used to paint the cinder blocks of the walls in the building with lead paint.
Oh, yeah,
explains
I did
a
too.
Lot. I did, explains I, a lot for me.
I clean, welded, scraped rust off, and painted garbage cans.
Oh, awful.
Like the giant dumpsters you see outside hospitals and restaurants.
The things we did early in our lives.
That's why I'm never going to get COVID-19. I have
not
total immunity.
Yeah, don't say that.
I know.
So we'll talk to you Friday, okay?
You got it, boys. Be good. Be safe. I'll be here.
You do the
there
same,
you go.
Mark
Greco, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Thank you to him and Sebastian Maniscalco and Michael Wilbon. Lucas Giolito, who we played a little from, is coming up in 2 minutes with Carmen and Yurko. He was very, very good. Jonathan Hood, live and local at 7 o'clock. Thank you to Jeff Meller and Adam Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. CSPN 1000. Have yourself a safe and healthy Wednesday night.
Was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.